This morning I wanted to spend just a few minutes on a verse, just one verse, John chapter 1, verse 14. This verse that gets right to the very core of Christmas and what it's all about and its meaning and significance and depth. John 1:14 simply says this: "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's just spend a few moments just thinking about that. The first phrase in that verse is, "The Word became flesh." The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning, the Lord God created the heavens and the earth, that out of nothing, God spoke and everything came to be. Just imagine that. I mean, every star, every planet, every solar system, every galaxy, every lizard, every blade of grass, everything because of this incredible Creator, a God who knows everything, a God who is all-powerful, a God who has all wisdom, all knowledge, all capacity. The more we get to know modern science, the bigger we discover the world actually is. Whether that's marveling at the intricacy in every single living cell and DNA and the incredible code that is in there that points us back to a Creator. Or as we launch telescopes into space and we get to see further and further out into the universe, we discover that the universe is very big. I can't help but think how in a galaxy we're not even aware of is a solar system that we won't even be aware of for another 1,000 years. And around that sun is a planet. And around that planet is a moon. Somewhere on that moon, there's this deep ravine. And on the edge of the ravine, there's a rock that's teetering and just about to fall into that ravine. And God knows every aspect of that rock, knows how long it's going to take with the gravitational pull on that moon for the rock to hit the bottom. I mean, God knows the universe on that level of detail. There's nothing that he's not aware of. He's beautifully and intricately involved in every element of creation. Physicists tell us that there's more than 100 variables that all had to be just right in terms of the physical laws of nature for the universe to exist and for life to be sustained. It's like the planet Earth is just set up in just the right place in the universe, just the right place in the galaxy, just the right place in the solar system. All these pieces, absolutely perfect. I mean, hundreds of parameters hundreds of factors with near infinite numbers of parameters for each, and yet every one of them just right. You think of the odds of that. You know, can you imagine every single day you wake up and you buy a lottery ticket and then you hit the jackpot? So, you know, you're from the time you were 4 years old or so, every single day you buy a lottery ticket and you hit the jackpot. Every single day, millions of dollars. You know, after a few days, you might stop thinking that you're just lucky and you might start thinking that it's rigged, right? And yet the odds of these components of the universe coming together in the way that they have, it's more likely that you would be winning every jackpot of every lottery every day of your life. I mean, we live in a world of wonder and beauty and symmetry and balance, and all of that from God. All of that from God. And that God who created all those things and knows the universe that intimately and that intricately, that God, the Bible tells us, that Word took on flesh. That creator joined the creation. The painter jumped into the painting. But the miracle doesn't end there. It's not just that the creator joined the creation. That's amazing enough. But the creator became a human being. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The God who knows everything, who sees everything, who is all powerful and all capable, would humble himself to the degree that he would have almost no power and he would know almost nothing. One who would have known all of the splendors of heaven. I mean, every resource, every precious metal that God created in the first place, a place where of incredible abundance, would leave that to be born in a barn, to be laid in the straw, to be part of a family that many would even call illegitimate, in a part of a country that was remote and for the most part unheard of. One who would know every detail of the universe would humble himself to the degree that he would forget almost everything except for I'm hungry, I'm sleepy, and my diaper needs changing. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. It reminds us that the God that we worship and serve is a God who completely understands the human condition. Knows what it's like to be a baby, a child, a young adult, a teenager. Knows what it's like to experience the joys of family and feasting and good food. And also knows the heartache of loss, of losing a loved one, of being rejected, of feeling pain. And so when we talk to God, when we call out to the night sky, wondering whether anybody's up there, whether anybody's listening, the one who hears us is one who gets us, who understands what we're feeling, understands what we're going through. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The line after that, I think, is also helpful. And it says, and we have seen his glory. Reminds us that, the incarnation, this idea of God coming to earth, it's not just a historical miracle. It's something that can be personally transformative. That it's not just enough to go, oh yeah, that happened in history. That was really cool. Something different happens when we realize the God of the universe did that for me. Well, yeah, I mean, he did it for everyone, but I'm part of that everyone. On some level, the God who knows all those things, knows every ant on every anthill and every blade of grass, every rock on every distant star, knows us, knows you. We have seen his glory. One of the things I love about this church is, I mean, people come from a wide variety of backgrounds. And the privilege of pastoring this wonderful, beautiful ragtag bunch over the years. I've seen, people come to Christ and they finally find the strength to kick that habit that's held them back for all these years. For people recovering after divorce, thinking they can never trust again or love again or even find friendship again, and they find it. Of how Jesus meets people in desperate, horrible places and turns their life around. And just even having the privilege of hearing people share those stories and those testimonies. And you know, there's times, you know, with especially with the really big dramatic ones that, you know, that, you know, I was on drugs and now I came to Jesus, now I'm clean. There's times I'm a little envious of that. I think, you know, God, why couldn't I've been a little more screwed up? I would have had a better story. But I also realize in those moments that I came to Christ when I was 13 years old because some adults invested in me, and they invested in me over many, many years. And it's because of that that I ended up being spared a lot of pain. But on my lonely days and the days I struggle with temptation or doubt or fatigue, I look into the depths of my soul and I realize I could easily be one of those stories, but not for the grace of God. Because the truth is, when we come to know Christ, whether that's early in life or later in life, whether it's over the years because you've always kind of been raised in it, or in one big dramatic flash, that when we come to know Jesus, Jesus changes our life. He changes us. We have seen his glory. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory. Would you take out one more thing from your bulletin? There should be a little strip of paper on cardstock. Maybe it's blue, maybe it's white. It's going to look something a little bit like this. And it has the phrase on it, "Because Jesus came, I have." Because Jesus came, I have. Because here's what I'd like you to do with it. Is to take just a minute and think about how you might fill in that blank. Ideally with one word, because we're going to do something neat with it with media in a minute. The ushers are going to collect the cards. And feel free to do that, ushers, at any point. We're going to collect the cards. We're going to do something really neat with it. It's kind of this act of worship and praise in just a moment. But to think about how you would fill in that blank. Because Jesus came, I have peace. Because Jesus came, I have purpose. Because Jesus came, I have love or identity. Ushers, yeah, this is when you start walking forward. Okay. Because Jesus came, I have hope. Because Jesus came, I have a second chance. That'd be two words. But however you would fill in that blank for yourself. And just to offer that back to God. Just to offer it back to him. You know, because for some today, I mean, maybe you're here and, it's Christmas, and so somebody drug you to church, and then you get here and you realize, you know, some of this stuff kind of makes sense. And it's kind of important. And maybe for you, today might be your big day. It might be the day that you take a new step of faith and give your heart to Christ. Experience him in a personal way. You know, be a prayer in something a little bit like this. You know, Jesus, I know that you came to earth for me. That you lived and died and rose again for me. And you take this historical act and you make it personal. Or maybe you've been walking with the Lord for years and you know him. But maybe then today could be this opportunity to kind of get life realigned, you know? Like, Christmas can be a season where there's so much going on, it can sometimes feel like the tail is wagging the dog, you know? We've got all these activities, we sing all these songs, we do all these dinners, we do all this stuff, we give all these gifts, but we sort of forgot what it's all about. When at the core, it's about Jesus. A God who loved the world so much that he came into it, that he entered it. So as the cards are being collected, as the band comes up, I'd just like us to spend some time with that thought. With your word, or even more importantly, Your response. And what's that mean for you? Yeah. Have you been keeping God on the shelf? Like an elf? You know, just some wonderful little figurine that reminds you of something you used to believe and something you used to do? Well, maybe you can take him off the shelf. Maybe you can let this be a day where you renew your faith. You come to him in new ways and remember what it's all about. So however God's leading you, let's just spend some time with him. I invite you to bow your heads and let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that reminds us that you came to earth, that the God of the universe laid down all of his splendor and glory and power and joined his own creation in the most humble of ways. Thank you for your overwhelming love. A love so profound that it would lead you to give all that up for us. And Lord, thank you that because you came, we have hope. So Lord, for those who are taking new steps of faith today or renewed steps of faith today, just pray that you would be so near to them, that you would give the peace that they are looking for. And the hope that they've been trying to find. And the strength that they've needed. And Lord, for those of us who, we know who you are. We just really easily forget. Would you, even in these next few moments, would you just remind us of what life is really about? And what really matters? That as we celebrate Christmas with one another, that the full beauty of what we're celebrating would come to life again. So Lord, thank you for your work in our midst. Thank you that your spirit meets us even right here, right now, and that you're ministering to people right where they are. So Lord, we pour out our hearts to you in worship and praise. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.